Well, hello everybody. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you here, and I'm glad to be studying God's Word with you today. Today we're going to go back into our study, our third study of the lesson of the Lord Jesus Christ, the letter J in our ABC study, and we are going to recap just a little bit. I gave you the scriptures last time, and we'll recap just a little bit. I want to read some scriptures to you to remind you of some things. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now, we studied, our first study was the study of the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect man. And I hope you've been going over them scriptures, and I'm sure you have, and probably even got more and more scriptures in the in our Bibles to study and to put beside and rightly divide the word of truth. And just like we was talking about how you fold your fingers together and how it all comes together, that's how wonderful God's word is, and how it just comes together for you. And God the Holy Ghost knows the sincerity of our hearts and knows whether or not we really want to know God's Word so that we can glorify Him and know the truth, or whether we want to know His Word for manipulative reasons. And there are folks that want to know the Word of God for that very reason. But let's not let that be us. I like loving the Lord, don't you? He is a wonderful God. And if you've had any kind of experience with the Lord and any kind of relationship with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And if you are struggling with something in your life right now that's causing you not to be able to talk with the Lord, it don't take that long. It don't take years and years and years to straighten that stuff out with the Lord. All you have to do is just, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord not only is faithful to forgive us as His sons. Now, our sins are forgiven, and it ain't got anything to do with whether we're going to heaven or hell. It's got to do with our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and being right with Him. And the Bible says that if we'll come to Him and we'll tell the truth and confess our sins to Him, that He'll forgive them. And He'll not only forgive them, but He'll take the guilt away. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what a wonderful God He is. He has covered all the ground of salvation. He's covered everything that needs to be covered and taken care of everything. All we got to do as His children is give Him glory and study His Word and learn as much about Him and conform into the image of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The more you become like Jesus Christ, and the more that the Holy Ghost helps you to change, and the parts of you that begin to change and conform into the image of Christ, you're going to love that person that the Lord's turning you into. Did you hear what I said? You're going to love that person that the Lord is turning you into. You're going to love having the right kind of thinking, having a heart that's like the Lord's heart, having the fruits of the Spirit being fruitful in and through you, and being able to commune with God the Holy Ghost, and being able to walk by faith and know that you're walking by faith. And these are things that take time. When we're born again, we don't immediately become experts at walking with the Lord. We have to grow in the Word of God. And that's what we're doing today. And that's what's so wonderful about this, that the Lord has freely given us the truth, and all we got to do is study it together. And God, the Holy Ghost, has told us already that He's our teacher and that He's faithful to teach us the truth. All we have to do is study it and rightly divide and search in the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Amen. So today, let's recap just a little bit. We talked about the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect man. And the Bible has, the Scriptures have said in many verses that we have read together that this is so, that Jesus Christ is the perfect man. And then we talked on our last recording about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is God, that He is deity, that He is the second person of the Godhead, with a triune Godhead, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And all three of these are one. Now, we read many scriptures. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we went over many scriptures and talked that thing out last time, and come to the conclusion together that the Scriptures teach that Jesus Christ is God, that He is God. I believe that, don't you? I know He is. If He's just a man, what can He do for us? If He was born, and we're going to go over that with this, what we're going to go over in our subject today. But if He was born, and this thing wasn't a miraculous thing that God done in this birth of Jesus Christ, and in His person of Him being both God and being both 100% man in His humanity. If God hadn't, God's the only one that could have figured that thing out. Man can't figure something like that out. Man couldn't figure out how to save himself. He can't figure it out now. He can't figure out how to live without God. I've tried, hadn't you? Did you come up with anything? You can't come up with nothing. We can't live without the Lord. We were created to give Him glory. We need Him. We need Him. We don't even have any identity without Him. That's what the whole world's doing, is running around trying to find an identity. And if it don't work over here, then okay, we'll go over here. Well, I buy this car. Well, it don't quite fit me right. I mean, the news worn off of it. So I got to go find me something else. And you just fit another car around you. It gives you a new identity. And you hunt. You get different jobs. You move out of your place of where you're supposed to be and get out of your measure of what you're supposed to be doing in life. According to what the Bible says, and you get out of your measure and you start trying to, well, I'm going to do this for a while. And it just don't work. You leave the Lord out, you've got no identity. You might have a reputation, but you ain't got no identity. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Well, boy, haven't we got some promises. I love that verse right there. You know, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, you know, from what we've learned in the previous lessons, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've learned that the Lord Jesus Christ is a man and that He is God. He's not 50% human and 50% divine in his deity. He's 100% perfect in his humanity. And he's 100% perfect in his deity. 100% God and 100% man. Now, you say, how can this be? He's the God-man. Yes, that's exactly what he is. He is the God-man. The world's always looking for a Superman and looking to identify a Superman and a hero, but they disregard the real one. Jesus is the Superman. He is. This is a fact. And this is what we call doctrine. And it's clearly taught in the Word of God, but it is one we certainly cannot fully comprehend until we get with Him, until we're actually with the Lord and we understand these things. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible said, what we just got through reading just a minute ago, that the trial of your faith, not your sight, your faith, being much more precious than gold. You see how precious that is? You see how valuable our faith is? Being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, everything trying to take the Word of God away from you, everything on this earth, the world, the flesh, the devil, trying to take away your faith and try to take away your belief and what you know to be right and what the Bible says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We know He's coming back, don't we? And when He gets here, we want to be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing. It says, whom having not seen. You see, the Bible's not trying to hide anything from us. There's no joke about this thing. The Bible knows that we hadn't seen Jesus Christ. We see Him by faith. Whom we see Him in the Scriptures. He's the Word of God. We see Him in the Scriptures. That's why our Bible is so important to us, because it is the Lord Jesus Christ in written form. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see? So it's not vain for you to serve the Lord. The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to not know how you're serving Him, and he's not gonna let you go. The Lord is not gonna let you serve Him without showing you sometimes that He knows that you love Him, and that the Bible says the Lord knows them that love Him. And if you love the Lord knows that you love Him. The Bible tells us that. Now, concerning this, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. In 1 Timothy chapter 3:16, the Bible says, and without controversy, no arguing about it, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What's the Bible say there? This verse says that Jesus is who? It says without controversy. Now, remember what we're doing. We're finding out what the Bible says. Now, listen to this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. We walk by faith. In 1 Timothy right there, he just verified what we've been talking about the last couple minutes, is that we walk by faith, and our faith is very precious in the sight of the Lord, and that it's going to be rewarded, and that we love somebody that we've not seen yet. But we're going to see. But it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So according to that verse says that Jesus Christ is who? Is God that is manifested in the flesh. God is Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost manifested in the flesh bodily. When you look at Jesus Christ, you are looking at the Godhead in the body, in a body. Isn't that neat? Only God could do that. Man's trying to do all these scientific things and stuff like that, and they're coming up with monsters all over the place. They're never gonna duplicate anything the Lord does. You know, scratching their heads and everything else, and never able to come to the truth. You know, remember back in study number 7 and the Bible, in study number 7 is when we were studying the letter G about God, and the Bible teaching of one God manifested in three persons. Well, in studying about the Lord Jesus Christ, we must appreciate one person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. You have to get that. Jesus Christ was walking around 100% God and 100% human with two natures. He had a divine nature and he had a human nature. Except he was not born under the curse. He did not have sin because the seed was not man's seed. The sin of Adam and the curse did not fall on him whenever he was born, whenever he was conceived, because he was not conceived with a man's seed. He was conceived with God's seed. And I'll show you that in the scriptures. And by the way, well, let me finish what we're saying here. So while we don't understand this truth, we can see it was accomplished in the miracle of the virgin birth. That's why the virgin birth, the doctrine of the virgin birth, is so important, because it shows both natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows the deity, and it shows the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And plus, it shows how smart God is, and kind of humbles us to let us know that, you know, we're not dealing with some kind of thing that's on the movies, and we're not dealing with gods that you can control. This is indeed God. Now, if Jesus had a human mother and a human father, he would be just another man, just like all of us. He would be sinful. He would need to be saved, and he would be totally incapable of saving himself, let alone others. We can't save ourselves. The Bible's clear about that, because it requires a blood sacrifice. And it requires holiness, no sin. And none of us qualify. The Bible says that all have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can't deny that. I'm not going to deny it. I don't want to be a liar. I know better. Don't you? One time I was out soul winning. Me and Brother Whitfield that taught me how to soul win. And we were soul winning to college students. We walked up to this one door, knocked on the door, and a young lady, I suppose she was in her early 20s, maybe whatever college students are, right around that, early 20s, she came to the door, very nice. And I went through the gospel with her and told her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was very receptive about it. And she wanted to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and wanted to go to heaven. I said, okay, well then would you be willing to pray and ask the Lord to save you and believe on Him like the Bible says and receive Him as your Savior? She said, sure. And I said, well now, you can either pray or I'll pray, but my prayer can't save you, but I'll pray a prayer, and if you pray it behind me and you mean it from your heart and you talk to the Lord, not talk to me, but talk to the Lord knows the conversation of your heart and He knows what you mean and He'll honor that and save you. She said, okay, let's do that. So I started praying. I said, Dear Lord, and she said, Dear Lord. I said, I know that I'm a sinner. And it was quiet. And I didn't think she heard me. So I said, "Dear Lord," she said, "Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I kind of looked up and then looked back down, and she still had her eyes closed. And I said, "Dear Lord," she said, "Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner." And right that time, she raised her head up and she said, "I ain't saying that." And I said, "Well, ma'am, you can't be saved." And she didn't say it. And she didn't get saved. Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was only human, he can't save nobody. You see how important a virgin birth is? If Jesus had a human mother and a human father, he would be just another man, sinful like all of us, and he'd need to be saved, and he'd be totally incapable of saving himself, let alone me and you. Now, if Jesus had no human mother and no human father, he would be unapproachable as God. That's the whole problem to begin with, is mankind. The Lord had to figure out a way to get up to save us without compromising his holiness and without compromising his Godhead. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad God didn't compromise, because if he compromised one time, I wouldn't trust him. The thing that we love about God is that God remains the same and still worked it out so we sinners could come back to him and get back to him. He did it. If Jesus had no human mother and no human father, he would have been unapproachable as God. You see that? He would have been holy, or he would be holy, like he is. But he would be dwelling in light that was inaccessible. We couldn't get to him. And we would have no mediator to get us to him. So something had to be done. And he did it through the virgin birth. You see how this is coming about? Now, the Bible teaches Jesus to be the Son of Man. Okay, because Mary was his mother. She was a human being. She came from man, the Son of Man. And plus, he came as the Son of Man in a messianic way. And we'll get into that some other time. But he was called the Son of Man because he was the Messiah to Israel. Okay. And but as far as what we're learning today, he was called the Son of Man because Mary was his mother. And he was called the Son of God, because God the Father was his father, is his father. Okay? So, you see how simple and easy this is if we just learn the scriptures. If we just learn the scriptures. Now, let me read you one. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Okay, what's the sign? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Do you know what Emmanuel means? I bet you do. It means God with us. Isn't that wonderful? But it was the scriptures that said this in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, this Old Testament prophecy of Christ said in that verse, who would conceive? Said a virgin shall conceive. Do you know what a virgin is? A virgin is a woman that has never had any kind of relations with a man. She's pure. She's untouched by a man, as far as man's seed goes, and as far as any kind of any kind of relations go. Okay? But the Lord said in Isaiah that a virgin would conceive. Okay, now in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is how it happened. "When as his mother Mary," the Bible calls Mary the Lord's mother, "when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Okay, now what's the Bible teaching us there? It says that when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, that she was what to Joseph? She was espoused to Joseph. Now, what do we mean by espoused? Well, espoused would be an equivalent word, like, for instance, engaged today. In other words, there has been agreements made that are binding, and these two are not the man and the woman that are espoused together. They have made it public that they are getting married, and they have made an agreement, and they have entered into an agreement together that they're going to be married. But the only thing that has not happened yet, I mean, as far as them being married, they've already made the agreement and made it legal. And when they're walking around holding hands and sitting close to one another and everything else, then people aren't surprised about it because they know that they're espoused to one another and they're engaged. Okay, and the Bible teaches us that Mary was espoused to Joseph. In other words, they had already made the agreement, went into a binding agreement together in front of everybody that they were going to get married. The only thing that had not happened yet was that they consummated the marriage. You see, in the Bible, when people are married, the Bible says that flesh joins flesh. When the flesh comes, when the flesh joins flesh, that is when the marriage is actually sealed. Okay? So they were espoused, and it was legal, and everybody knew about it, and they were walking around in front of everybody, and everybody knew that, and nobody was surprised or thinking that there was anything funny going on or anything like that. It said, before they came together. Now, what does that mean? That means that they came together to consummate the marriage, where their flesh joins flesh, and they actually become one. Okay? It says that before that happened, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we was talking about that seed yesterday, but talking about it on the last recording, remember? And talking about that God the Father's seed, the Holy Ghost, came over and overshadowed Mary, like the angel said that he would, and he overshadowed her, and he placed God's seed in Mary, and it conceived with her humanity, and made the Lord Jesus Christ a human being in Mary's womb. Now, in the Bible, in Galatians, I want to read you something that shows you that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed that seed. Okay, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, and I'll begin in verse 15 just to read it to you. This is Paul talking, and he's talking about Abraham's seed and the promise that God made to Abraham about his seed. Okay, and he's bringing the Lord Jesus Christ into this. Listen to what he says. "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Now, verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, you read that Bible, and you pay attention to those words, which are very important, and that's what makes your King James Bible so special, because every word is pure. Now, to Abraham, his seed, singular. He didn't say Abraham's seeds. He said Abraham's seed, meaning a specific seed that was going to come from his lineage down through him. Okay? And to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, Christ was the seed. He was the seed that man was waiting on, that God sent into the world to save humanity from their sin. So we see that the Bible teaches in Galatians that Christ was the seed that was going to be placed into the Virgin and conceive into humanity, and that she was going to bear a son. She was going to be found with child of the Holy Ghost. How's it get any plainer than that? That's not hard to understand. I can ask a 6-year-old child and read that verse to them, and they'll tell me that the Holy Ghost was having a baby. Isn't that neat? Okay, let me read you something else here. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee," we just said that, "and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." Who's the highest? God the Father. God, Jehovah. "Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." That's the angel talking to Mary. He gave her all the details. Said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Said the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that also, that holy thing, what's the holy thing? The holy thing is the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nothing wrong with that speaking in the neuter right there. It's speaking holy thing. You find that all through the scriptures. It's nothing wrong with the Bible, with the Lord calling that holy thing, talking about the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And he was. And he is. Isn't that great? The conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary was the miraculous and beautiful and holy and wonderful work of who? Of God the Holy Ghost. Now there's some ignorant, stupid clowns in the world now that unashamedly speak of the virgin birth in a nasty way. There's people say, I was reading something the other day where they was talking about that God the Father had actually raped Mary, and that Mary was mad about it, and that and Jesus was he was a bastard. Crazy stuff. And they're going to answer for it, just like that clown that we talked about in the last recording. These people think they're going to get away with these kind of things, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes standing in front of the Lord trying to explain some stupid stuff like that. But they make it very nasty and very ungodly, but that is not at all what the scriptures talk about, and there's nothing ungodly and perverted or perverse about anything having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ's conception. It was very holy and very godly, and there was nothing It's just unimaginable that anybody would think. That's just how perverted the minds of men are nowadays, is that they follow after their sex god. And when they hear anything about a seed and conception and the Holy Ghost, they don't even understand what holy means. The Holy Ghost overshadowing, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Every bit of that perverted junk that all these people are letting come out of their stinking nasty mouths about the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ and the virgin birth of Mary and all these perverted religions and cults that try to pervert the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to answer for it. But that's not going to be us, because we know that the Lord is holy, and that when he chose Mary to do this and she agreed and believed the Lord, that the Lord come upon her and he placed the seed of God in Mary, and with her humanity made the Lord Jesus Christ in human form. And God took on flesh and was born of a virgin. Isn't that wonderful? The birth of Jesus Christ was indeed supernatural. Supernatural. And, you know, the Lord, just like we was talking about, the Lord said that the trying of our faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. We hear all these people with their doubts and their stinking perverted comments and making fun of our God and making fun of the way that He's done things and calling Him this and calling Him that. They're going to answer for it. They're going to stand in front of Him. Just keep on doing what you're doing and believe in the book and believe in the truth. It said, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is not a baby anymore. The first time He come as a lamb, He come to be slaughtered. He came and healed people, was kind to people, cast out devils and unclean spirits, and helped people all along His ministry, and never sinned in His life, and never used His God powers and cheated what He was trying to do so that the devil couldn't say, foul. But He relied on the Holy Ghost that dwelled in Him and trusted God and went to the cross and was crucified, buried, and rose again and ascended back to the Father. And that's where He is right now. And the next plan is for Him to say, come up hither. And that's when all of us are going to get out of here. And then the next plan is that He's coming back. He ain't coming back as a slaughtered lamb. He's going to have blood all over His garments. But guess what? He's coming back as a lion this time. And the Bible says that He's not coming back to ask anybody what they think. He's not coming back to see if anybody wants to make war, to fight with Him and have some strife with Him. He's coming back, the Bible says specifically, to make war, to make it. He's not coming back to ask any questions or see anybody's opinions or to hear anything anybody's got to say about their rights. There ain't going to be no rights. He's coming back as God, the Son of God, and we're going to be with Him. Praise His name. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now, what have we talked about today? We've talked about that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. We talked about also that He could not have had a human mother and a human father. And likewise, he could not have, if Jesus had no human mother and no human father, then we couldn't have approached him, because there had to be a human being in between that understood what human beings are like, because God didn't know what it was like to be a human being. But Jesus did. And Jesus was able to mediate between a holy God that is a spirit and a human being that is a sinner, you see. And he was able to communicate between us and fill that gap and make it to where we could communicate with the Lord now. And he did it. The Old Testament prophecy of Christ said that a virgin would conceive. And now either the Old Testament prophesied falsely and it's a lie, and if the Old Testament's a lie, then the New Testament's a lie. And if the New Testament's a lie, then God's a lie, and Jesus is a lie, and your salvation is a lie, and your faith is a lie. And we're all riding around on a planet that's speedballing through space, and everything is decomposing and decaying, and we ain't got long before everything's going to come. Somebody needs to be in control. My Bible tells me who's in control, doesn't yours? And I'm glad of it. I'm going to stay right where I am and stay right with the book and stay right with my Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you do the same, and I know you will. So we've studied today about the Lord Jesus Christ and the virgin birth, that he was born of a virgin. It was a put-together plan, the Lord, a perfect plan that the Lord made and only he could have come up with. Oh, man. They're mixing human seed with animal seed now, and blabbity blabbity blab, and they're gonna come up with some monsters. You see something walking down the street looks like a monster, don't you be surprised, because they're making them. they're just going out of their way to mess things up, and they're ignorant and stupid and call it science, and they ain't got no idea what science is. The Bible is the only science book on this planet. So the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Praise the Lord. Next on our next recording, when we come together, we're going to talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll join us. I know you will. And we'll learn together and praise the Lord for his virgin birth and for him taking care of all the things that needed to be done, and how important that virgin birth was, considered bringing together humanity and deity, and doing it just perfectly. And like I said, this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and that's what we've learned about the virgin birth today, and that it's so, and that we believe it. Okay, and the Bible has told us. Let me give you these scriptures. Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There's your prophecy of the virgin that shall conceive. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. So you see, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that's just very few scriptures, and while you're looking at those and looking those up, go ahead and chase the other ones down that it gives you reference to, and look and see what the other scriptures have to say about it. It's written all over the place. The Bible's not ashamed to talk about how the Lord was born of a virgin. He's not. So there's your scriptures. And we'll come back together and enjoy God's Word some more and learn some more about the Lord Jesus Christ and the letter J and the ABCs of Christian growth. And I wish you a blessed day, and the Lord be kind to you. Brothers and sisters, we have all the hope in the world, and in the other world too, beyond this world. Praise Him for His wonderful promises. Bye-bye.